There's an old and venerable tradition about reading scripture. It's first formulated by Origen in the second century, which is so beautiful. He said, you know, we have body, soul, spirit. Now that's a biblical division. That's not a Greek division. And he said, we read the scriptures. He's giving advice to preachers, actually. He says, you can read the text, body. Mrs. Mary went to the hill country and this all happened. And okay, I got that. That's the way most of the historical critical method goes. But then there's soul. I want to take this in. I want to understand this. I want to apply it to my life. That's the way most Protestants read the scriptures. It's beautiful. And you know how well they know the scriptures and how much they, you know, how much they apply it. But it's, if you will, it's moral. It's beautiful. Light years ahead of most Catholics who don't even read the scriptures. But it's morality. And then there's another level, spirit, where the text mediates to you the reality, not just the words. The reality enters your spirit. And Origen says, until you're there, don't try to preach. When you're there, preach about the reality, not about the words. But as you preach this reality, preach it under the guidance and authority of the inspired words, which will always open up for you. But you must preach the reality, not the words. So soul, I could say, well, now Mary was up in Nazareth, and she took her at least 2.5 days to walk down to Ain Kerem, which is the traditional place where Elizabeth lived. And you can calculate, you know, this was 6 months pregnant when the angel told her. She went down there and she stayed instead 3 months, so she stayed till John was born. And our collect already says what a beautiful thing this is, right? You inspired the Virgin Mary, the mother of your son, to visit Elizabeth and assist her in her need. That's a very beautiful thing. What I say about this sort of soul understanding, I don't mean it's negligible. It's a dimension of the mystery. So Mary went down, recently pregnant herself, walked probably, or maybe, and she would be in a little caravan. Nobody walks alone on those roads in those days, or even in these days. You know, maybe with a little group, who knows? Maybe Joseph went with her, we don't know. But that's a beautiful meditation. But now, my friends, what really happened? Why is the church going to say, everybody on May 31st, stop. Celebrate this liturgy and give your mind and heart to this reality. And let that reality enter your spirit and ravish your spirit with joy, awe. What's happened? Because this is a mysterium, as we call it. This is a mystery. And there's a grace in every mystery that is particular to that mystery, which will touch your life and change you if you let it. And that's the purpose of liturgy, rosary, the whole thing that we do, you see, which is more than just read the scriptures. Please, God, we'd read the scriptures more than we do, because they are the instrument of revelation. This should happen to us every day. That the reality comes to us and changes us. You see, it's more than morality. If you will, it's mysticism. Let's just look. Huh? What do we see here? We see old Israel and new Israel. We see Israel the prophet foretelling God's act to save Israel and the whole human race. And we see new Israel bearing this very Messiah. And they meet. And the prophet, the last and greatest of the prophets, in the womb of Elizabeth, bursts out with joy because the fulfillment is here. And somehow, he's 6 months old, in the womb at 6 months old. He rejoices, and so does Elizabeth. That's Israel. And then the fulfilled Israel, Mary, comes, and bearing in her womb the Messiah, that's Israel. Israel gave the world its Messiah. And for those who were graced, there's a burst of joy. This is a visit. Look at that in your spirit. Israel and Israel. And we used to have as another reading, another choice in our, we don't have it now, it's the text in the Song of Songs. My beloved is coming. He's bounding over the hills. He's coming. You know that passage in the Song of Songs? Well, that's what's happening. There's Israel the prophet, seeing her beloved coming over the mountains, born by Mary in her womb. That is why when you read the fathers of the church, they say the Blessed Virgin, that is the church. Isn't that amazing? Well, the church, that is the Blessed Virgin Mary, because the churchness is summed up in her, indistinguishable, bearing the Christ. And so the church is a virgin mother, and her womb is the baptismal font. Now, these are realities. They're not just charming pictures. These are overwhelmingly joyous reactions, you know, mysteries. And that's what happened. It was the first meeting of prophecy and fulfillment, both still in the womb of their mothers. And the result was joy. And Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit. This is prophecy, right? She sees what's going on. She didn't just say, you know, the baby stirred. She knew. She cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And how does this happen to me? That the mother of my Lord, now the Lord has a mother. That's Kyrios, that's Yahweh, has a mother. Wouldn't it be nice if we were filled with the Holy Spirit and grasped that? It wasn't just, well, now I should be very nice to Mary because Elizabeth was a moral thing, which is nice. But the reality, pierce our spirit, rejoice us, change us, keep us faithful to Him. That's what reading the scriptures is all about. And it's the enticement to do that, you see. It means letting our lives be changed. And how does this happen to me? That the mother of my Lord should come to me? If you look at 2 Samuel, this is an echo, an allusion to David saying, "And how is can this be that the ark of my Lord should come to me?" So Mary is the ark of the covenant. She bears the Torah right in her body. The Torah incarnate in her body. She's the ark. Okay. "For the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy." And now this is a blessing on Israel. "Blessed are you who believed, O Israel, all of you who believed, all of you for a millennium who were faithful to the Lord, blessed are you who believed," all summed up in this woman, "that what was spoken to you by the Lord through one millennium and culminating in that message of the angel to Mary, when God said to Mary, 'I want to have my son. I want to marry the human race.' and I want to marry the red human race in your womb. Are you willing? He will be called great, the Son of the Most High. He will be. But I want to marry the human race. I want to be joined, one flesh with the human race. Do you understand what God did? Do you see how, if we let the Holy Spirit bring us the reality and not just practical applications, which are nice, what will happen to us? You see, blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. And the most blessed, the most Israel, is Mary. She most believed. And as the fathers of the church would say, because of that belief and that yearning, reading all these texts, Zechariah, the one we had today, and all the rest, she conceived the word in her heart before she conceived him in her body. That spirit of hers, immaculately conceived, filled with the Holy Spirit, reading these scriptures, you see, took them in and conceived the word. Israel and her yearned and yearned for the Messiah and conceived him spiritually before she conceived him physically. And then Mary starts to sing. And here we have this song, which was the song of all the Anuim who lived in Jerusalem, all the poor, who believed in Jesus. And they took this song. And you see, this is Israel. But Israel now is the church. And that's why every day, at the end of the day, the church sings this song. Because it's our song. Just at the beginning of the day, we sing Zechariah's song. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. And now at the end of the day, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. You want to know how to sing that, you go to Mary. And say, would you teach me how to sing this? Would you fill my spirit? So it's not just my soul, you know, it's happening. Show me. And you know, but I just wanted you to have this one. Mary's function as mother of men in no way obscures or diminishes this unique mediation of Christ, but rather shows its power. The mediation of Christ is so powerful that he can share it with somebody under him. He's not jealous. But the Blessed Virgin Mary, Blessed Virgin's salutary influence, she can touch your heart. This is not just good example in prayer. This is influence. That's what it means to be living in the body of Christ. To be influenced. And that's why, the fathers, sometimes they're hard to follow because they say, Mary, that is the church, or the church, that is Mary. Because you see, Mary is Israel brought to its fulfillment, the church. And so she sings. This is what she sings in heaven all the time. And every day, this is repeated here on earth. The church sings it. There's so much to this. He has come to the help of his servant, Israel, because he remembered his promise of mercy. The promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham, and his children forever. You see how your spirit is supposed to be touched by the reality of this thing and not just the words. And you do that if you just bother the Lord enough. Please open this up for me. You know, tug at his robe. You know, listen, I want to know this. You know, I'm tired of his pious moral applications. I want to be changed.